Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, it's good to have you with us today. And hopefully when you leave, you can say it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. May I say this, we should desire not to bring a reproach to Jesus Christ. We should desire that our lives are such that we do not do something that will dishonor the name of Christ. And we're going to read in just a little bit about James and John and how they had what they thought was the right motive, but they had the wrong thoughts of why Jesus came. But if you would, let's stand together. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 51 down through verse 56. I know we have used these verses for a launching point the last couple of weeks, and it will be the last week we do so. But if you would, verse 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? And he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And you can say amen right there. And they went to another village. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless today's service for your honor and for your glory. May we preach the truth of Jesus Christ. May the Spirit move. May the Heavenly Father be pleased that we bring honor to the Son. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Last week in verse 56, we talked about the Son of Man is come not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Not destroy, but save. And that's the Lord's desire for us. He does not wish to condemn people to hell. Our sins do that. He wishes to provide a way of salvation, but you must be willing to take the way of attention, or take the way of salvation. Verses 53 through 55, we find here that the people there of Samaria would not accept him, and two of the disciples wanted to bring down fire. But why would they not receive him? Why would they not want to receive Jesus Christ? What's the same as today? People don't want to receive Jesus as their Savior. They don't want to receive Jesus because Jesus has a purpose for our lives, and most of us are not interested in that purpose. One commentator writes, they did not receive him because his face was though he would go to Jerusalem. One must remember that the Samaritans had their temple on Mount Gerizim. But Jesus was making for the city of his father's house, that being in the city of Jerusalem, unquote. That was his desire. Today, many will not receive him. And let us give you three thoughts. The first being, because he does not honor their works. They, like the Samaritans, have built a temple of their own liking, fashioned up after their own thoughts and opinions, and unless the Lord compliments them in some way for their good works, they will not receive him, i.e. Cain, who brought a sacrifice, but not what the Lord wanted. How many will get to heaven and they'll say, well, I was religious, Lord, and he'll say, but not what I wanted. Luke 18:9 says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. The key words there, trusted in themselves. In their minds, they were good enough. But it's not what we think, it's what the Lord thinks. And we must be willing to do what he desires. Romans 10, verses 1 and 2, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. We find many today that are religious. In fact, they can be quite excited. But the problem is they have an excitement, but they don't have the knowledge of Christ. Second thought as to why they will not receive him. One was because he does not honor their works. But the second is because he will not go with them in their ways. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" My wife and I are going to Hawaii in remembrance of our 40th anniversary, which happened back in June. And the reason we didn't go there then is a couple of reasons. Number one, it's going to be cold here, and we want to go there when it's warm. And Donna wants to see the whales. But we do it because we've been in agreement 40 years. That's a long time, isn't it? I can't even believe I've been alive 40 years. You say, "Pastor Paul, you married young, very young." Yes. But the Samaritans had made up their minds to do their worship at Gerizim and not in Jerusalem. A part of the problem was, of course, that the Jews had a great bigotry against the Samaritans. May I say this? Many of you will support missionaries to certain parts of our country and to certain parts of the world that you wouldn't want to go to. You would not want to live there, but you'll send a missionary there. See, we want them to accept our God, but we don't want them as part of our society. And this is how the Jews were. They did not care for the Samaritans. In fact, if they were going from Judah to Galilee, many of them would not go through Samaria, even though it was between the two provinces. They would go across the river and up and back around on the other side because they didn't want anything to do with the Samaritans. Many times our willingness to send a missionary doesn't remove the fact that if we come in contact with some people, that we want nothing to do with them. And as Jesus was only passing through their community because he was on his way to Jerusalem, they did not want to have anything to do with him. I read an article the other day copied from the Christian Information Network called "Strange People I Know." Now, this is not from me. I just simply agree with it. Oh, did you read your bulletin? I do have a personal thought in there. You don't have to read it now, but you'll figure it out when you read it. You'll say, "Oh, Pastor Paul put that in," and you'll figure it out which one I'm talking about. But strange people I know. People who talk about praying but never pray. People who say tithing is right but never tithe. People who belong to a church but never attend. People who say the Bible is God's word but never read it. People who criticize others for things they do themselves. People who sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," but never tell anyone. Three thoughts as to why people today do not accept the Lord. The first one, because he doesn't honor their works. The second, because he won't go their way. The third is, he seems to favor those whom they despise. Do you realize that many people despise Christians? They say we're arrogant. Some people say, "A Baptist, you're those bloody religion people because you believe in the blood." And there are some people that despise us, and thus they will not follow Christ. The Jews despised the Samaritans, thus the Samaritans despised the Jews. Can you imagine growing up in our country a number of decades ago when men were moving west and they were coming against the Indians? Of course, they had come against them many times before they got out west. We call them Native Americans maybe today. But we wanted them to be in their place, yet we wanted them to have our religion. And remember, many of the Native Americans simply said it is white man's religion. Why? Because their actions stunk. The love of money is the root of all evil. They wanted their land. They wanted all that it had to offer, but they didn't want them. And folks, we have that today. We have this feeling of don't get in our way. The other day I was in an estate sale. Do you like going to estate sales? I was at an estate sale. The homeowner must have been a very older person. I thought to myself as I walked through their house that they were not well-to-do. They had very little of any value. And as I walked through the house, I kind of felt sorry for them. And I walked into what was a bedroom. It was a very small room. They had made it a desk. They had two filing cabinets with a piece of plywood between them, and this was the desk. And over under the window, they had a very inexpensive bookcase. And on the wall, as you walked in, and the door would not fully open because of the way they had built this, but they had put, you know, those bars on the wall that brackets could go to, and then they had put wood shelves on it. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, they say that that sometimes it's hard to get one's opinion from my mouth to your ears. But I hope I was able to tell you this with you hearing it. But on these shelves, I saw these tapes. Now, that takes you back a while too, doesn't it? Because most people don't have cassettes anymore. They've gone on to DVDs. But I saw these. They were things that you could buy. The first one was The Higher Self. Brother Jeff, it was written by a Dyer. I think Wayne Dyer, I think it was written by him. But The Higher Self. Another one was The Awakened Life. Some of you like to sleep all the time, I know. Another one was Your Psychic Pathway. I like this one, Magical Mind, Magical Body. I could just see someone buying this group of cassettes and listening to someone talk about your magical mind, which would give you a magical body. This one was good. I felt sorry that they felt they had to buy this one was The Power of the Mind to Heal. See, many times people want to mix their Christianity in with the cults. This one was Reclaiming Your Spiritual Power. And we live in a day and age in which people, may I say this, they're tired of Christianity because of Christians. You say, what are you talking about? We call ourselves Christians and then we act just like the world. Would you believe that Christians should be different? That we should dress differently? That we should smell differently? I walked into the Kroger's the other day and I'm walking down the aisle. And as I walked by this man, I just went, oh, he just reeked of tobacco. And I just thought to myself, thank God I grew up in a home where they didn't smoke. May I say this, Dad, thank you. I'm glad you and Mother didn't smoke. I walked by another person at a different day. This was not the same day. This guy reeked of alcohol. I don't believe Christians should smell of alcohol. I believe that we should talk differently. I don't believe that we should use the cute four-letter words that our society thinks is so important. The other day I heard there was a film that came out. They used the F word 600 times. And I'm thinking to myself, why would anybody want to go and watch a film in which they use that type of language? We are to be different. We shouldn't know the smutty jokes that the world knows. We shouldn't watch the same, I won't say it, but we shouldn't. There should be a difference. But why do you think that Christianity struggles today? Because of Christians. We want to look like, we want to watch the same trash they watch, and we want to, and if the pastor preaches against it, well, we're just going to be offended. But what if Jesus said to you, you ought to be different? Do you think you ought to be different? Absolutely. See, we're only here on this planet Earth for a very short period of time, and you better use that time wisely. we got to use it wisely. I am shocked at the witchcraft that has crept into our society. Witchcraft and rebellion are related. They're related. And witchcraft is honoring Satan. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm not sure about this. I'm just going to tell you straight out, witchcraft is wrong, and it comes from the father of Satan, or from Satan. He is the father of it. We find that the Samaritans missed the fact that his faith was towards Jerusalem as he prepared himself for the cross. Jesus Christ came to die for man's sins. In verse 54, we find that we see the disciples' intolerance. Because the people there of Samaria would not take Jesus and want to follow him, they wanted to call down fire from heaven. They remember the occasion when Elijah called down fire on the men from King Ahaziah. And he did this twice. Now, we see the faith of the disciples. They believed they could call down the same fire as Elijah, but it was misused. You can see their zeal, but it was misdirected. You can see their ignorance, but they misunderstood Christ's mission and ministry. Matthew 20, 28 says, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many." May I say this, Jesus Christ did not come so that we would give Christmas gifts to each other. Yes, it's nice to give. Aren't you glad that people give to you? A number of you gave us gifts this past Christmas beyond what the church did, and thank you very much. We appreciate those gifts, but that's not why Christ came. Christ came to die for your sins. How many of us, though, are like James and John when these people did not want to do what Christ would have them do? They wanted like you would do. I sure wish God would do this to them. You know, there are times that I wish God would bring a special miracle and just show his strength and get people to see it. But, you know, folks, there is a miracle that God has done and he has shown. That's the salvation of souls. And we should be living testimonies of Christ. We find in verse 55, because of their wrong spirit, Christ rebuked them. Can you imagine being rebuked by Christ? But Christ rebukes them. But then let's look at verse 51. Now you're saying, Pastor Paul, you started with verse 56 and you worked your way up. That's right. Some of us that have this problem of what do they call that? Dyslexity. Well, we see things backwards. Many times when I'm driving down the road and I see a billboard, I read it backwards and I think that doesn't make sense. Anybody have that problem? I see one hand. Yes, we're on the same page. We understand each other, don't we? That's right. But verse 51, let's read it again. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Let me read to you from the book of Galatians chapter 4. We read this many times during the Christmas season. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. There was a time. Jesus came at a appointed time. He was going to die at an appointed time. He was headed for Jerusalem at that appointed time. Jesus would go to Jerusalem so that he might suffer and die in obedience to the Father's will, and that he might overcome him that had the power of death, that being the devil. He went steadfastly, like a warrior to battle, confident of victory. And the victory was won. Christ did die on the cross. He was buried and he rose again victorious. He knew his time was at hand. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Well, I'm going to turn there. You may want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 21. It says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." He knew what lay ahead. He knew that in Jerusalem that he would first be praised and honored, and then he would be betrayed and lied about and be beaten and scourged, stripped naked and hung upon a cross to die for you and for me. The book of Isaiah 53 has these words: "He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." He came for a purpose. That purpose was because of the condition of mankind. The condition of mankind. Maybe you've watched one of those programs on TV like American Pickers, and they find something that is rusty and something that looks terrible, and they say, "I can buy this and have this fixed." And I've often wondered how much money they get once they have it fixed. But mankind's condition was they were lost. Romans 3:10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So what is the penalty of this condition? Doomed and damned to hell. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." When we think of hell, we think of some place that's hot. But it's more than that. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of pain. It's a place of remembrance and the rejection of Christ, but it's a place of loneliness and separation from God for all eternity. What God did do to our condition, he provided a way of escape. Romans 5:8 says, "But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I am so glad he died for me. And I hope you're glad that he died for you. We are not saved by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, Titus 3:5. What must we do due to our sinful condition? We must realize our ransom has been paid and accept the gift of redemption. Romans 10:9-10, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." A realization that Christ is our way. Luke 9:51, "And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." And verse 56 says, "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." In conclusion, and as I look at the clock back there, I have 3 minutes. If I don't take all 3 minutes, you won't hold it against me, will you? 1 Timothy 1:15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom," Paul wrote, "I am chief." He came to save sinners. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And if you do, are you walking worthy of that salvation? Shall we stand together? The song of invitation this morning will be "Just As I Am," and that's what the Lord wants you to do. Come just as you are. And once you come, He is willing to make you right. But you have to make the decision. You must be willing to come to Him and let Him know of your sinful condition and ask Him for forgiveness and ask Him to be your Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that You would move at this time, that the Spirit would convict hearts. And that, Lord, if there's one here that knows Thee as Savior, that needs, Lord, a changing, may that happen also. Help us, Lord, to walk worthy of You in this dark and dreary world. Lord, we pray now that You would bless at this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.